It's a dynamic duo, we'll be back again. Other backers, DJ, you better pack it in. You're lacking sense, trying to tangle with us. Go with the big black boobies in the back of the bus. Just smacking you up, and stealing your lunch. Money to search, ready to feel it just a touch. Only by the end of the day, that's understandable. What can I say? You got strong man to be.
Miser, miser, it's
a drop on the floor, man.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
It's all my other half. It's like, I've just got to get downstairs and win myself another 2 6-packs of beer in about 9 months' time.
I'll just warn everybody, too, that I'm already on the whiskey. I've gone straight past red wine land, so...
I have no alcohol here whatsoever. I have minibar alcohol, but I'm not sure it's worth paying $57 for a fucking nip of scotch, but, you know...
You have plans so badly.
I know. I do have some dry ginger ale, though. Maybe I could just look at it, pretend it's scotch.
You could probably go and score some speed off the street if you want us to give you 5 minutes.
There is that. I mean, Jesus Christ. I didn't even have to. I just get that from reception. I'm like, here's your checking card, here's the wireless code, and here's 2 lines of speed. But like, oh, well, thanks very much. That's
did
great.
Did you see the photo of all the Friends cast getting back together with lines of coke on the phone in the background?
I saw that photo and something circled. I didn't actually see what was on the thing. That's
chopped up, ready to go. It's like you guys don't do Instagram that much, do you?
Jennifer Aniston's first ever post on Instagram.
Good stuff.
So would we want to do all the sport that's not worth talking about first?
You mean rugby?
Yeah, or golf or tennis. Which one of those niche sports that we only talk about when you're on would you like us to talk about?
Rugby union, and we're getting hammered.
Good.
Are we already?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, let's move on to the NBA.
That's good. Oh, no, I did want to talk about one extra thing. I did notice today that in Davey Dum Dum news, Davey Dum Dum got a half tracker ball about 15 balls into his innings today and sliced it straight to Tim Payne. Another beautiful bit of lead-in form for the incumbent test opener. And Steve Smith, though, fresh off 2 ducks or whatever it was he got last week, is just scored his 100 off 234 balls, which just goes to prove that...
Are you Ed Cowan in disguise?
Yeah.
Is that in Sydney or Tassie?
And that's a Des Moines, yeah, which is a million miles from anywhere, really.
What kind of deck is Des Moines?
Well, they bowled Tassie out for 200 and change.
Yeah, Tassie don't have much of a batting lineup. Like, they've got Wade and that's about it.
Yeah, he didn't score any runs either, I don't think. So, yeah, it doesn't look like it's much fun batting there, but it doesn't look – I think once you're in, you're not going to get out unless you do something stupid. But, you know, in Dave Warner's case, you know –
he doesn't have any choice. So that's all he can do.
That's right.
There was a fascinating piece by Bredig this week on ESPN about Trevor Holmes trying to retroactively fit analytics into their selection criteria for the Ashes.
I haven't read it, but I heard your assessment of it and went, ugh.
Isn't that, I mean, that's the way all old school football or old school cricket men deal with analytics. If it agrees with their gut instinct. I mean, Mike D'Antoni said something quite similar with his attitude to analytics and what, you know, people of his generation's attitude to analytics. If it matches their gut instinct, they're happy to accept it. If it doesn't, they're going to ignore it.
Should we point at something to Mr. Holmes as well in all of this? They didn't win.
Yeah. Well,
we didn't win.
They overachieved, though. You can't.
Yeah, but England didn't win the World Cup and they got to celebrate that. So.
Yeah.
Well, this is what made Durant's conversation with a couple of journalists this week on Twitter so fascinating was he basically straight out said, you know, who wants to read graphs when we're having a basketball conversation, and was smashing a couple of them for talking about Harden and how, you know, Harden's always played that way. He's never played any different. And someone's dropped a stat, you know, when Harden started for the Thunder, like the percentage of shots that he took at the 3-point line were 7%, and now they're like 36%. And Durant's like, oh, right. I didn't realize that. That's really interesting. Like, completely changed his tune, which was so like the anti-Hones, because Hones is the sort of guy where you could bring up a really good point with analytics and he would just go, no, my gut is right. And Durant was just like, oh, fuck, I'm completely wrong about that. That's amazing. That's really interesting. And then compounded on that by saying, this is where I think analytics is actually good, where it breaks down your preconceived biases and makes you think about something that you shouldn't, that you, which was sort of totally against the 15 tweets he'd had before, which was basically like, you know, just go out and ball, basically.
Well, let's face it, Durant is basically going to spend this year getting high and watching basketball games.
Yeah. I'm totally here for Durant interacting with all, you know, the basketball writers and clapping back. And
he's going to be the most fun NBA analyst we have this season.
Yes. Oh, that's what I reckon. Oh, I think it's going to be fucking fantastic. I am so stoked that he is out for a year. I think he's going to really highlight some of the stuff, and I actually think it'll help him as a player because he's not in that daily grind of travel, play, like he'll have some time to reflect and see whether he can change his opinion about a few things.
You think he's got league pass, do you? Like he's got on for the year? Like
I'm sure someone would have spotted him league pass.
Wait, is that my face on the cover? Oh, yeah, cool. No, that's good. That's right. Either that or he'll just become the best NBA 2K20 player ever seen.
He'll end up needing a thumb ligament replacement as well as
it is. That's right. Out RSI.
Can you imagine if you're some nerdy, like, pimple-faced kid in a basement in Jersey and you get to play?
I can't imagine that.
But you get to play, and it comes up and says you get to play against Kevin Durant for the World Championship 2K20 title, and it is actually Kevin Durant.
And you beat him, and you trash-talk the shit out of him.
Yeah. All right, before I get too trash, Doc, you better explain the rules.
The rules are that this is the Bulls Podcast NBA Preview Podcast / NBA Wins Pool, where every year we draft teams in the East and the West by some randomized predetermined order, and at the end of the regular season, everyone has to buy me beer. This year, because I'm the reigning and forever champion, I will again forfeit the right to go first. So I'm going to toss a coin to see which of you two gentlemen gets to have first pick. And by first pick, you get to pick the first team you want, but you also get to pick which conference we start with.
And because I'm a gentleman, you can call, Adam.
As I flip, you have the choice of either going first in whatever conference you pick, which will make you last in the other conference, or you can choose to go second in both conferences. So if you've got a particular strategy in your head where you think, you know, if you've got a particular team that you really, really want to get after in the East or the West, I would suggest you go for it.
Because it's quite different this year, and last year, like, I think all three of us would have picked Golden State in the West. Everyone thought Golden State was going to win the most games in the West.
Which is interesting because Adam won and he picked Boston Celtics in the East. And we all said, that's a tremendous pick. Yeah, we wish we'd done that. And they finished fourth. And the team Adam picked fourth ended up winning the East.
So how about them apples, eh?
So this is just to say that we know fucking nothing.
I think that's been well and truly established by now.
Isn't that the new tagline I'm going to put on the back of the Bulls Podcast t-shirts for this year?
You know nothing, Bulls Podcast. All right, I'm going to flip this coin in the air, and I'll tell you when it's in the air, and Adam, you can call. It's airborne.
I'll have 100 on a head.
It's a tail. Mr. Beasley.
I'll go second in both conferences, please.
Ooh!
Oh, you bastard. That's what I was going to do too.
Fascinating. Yes. So then it falls to the person who lost the toss. You get to choose which conference you want to go first in.
Oh, shit. That doesn't really matter, does it? I will go first in the East, please. Just that East Coast, motherfucker.
All right then.
Oh, that's good. We stick to last year's pattern, which is
pretty
excellent.
Much, yes. Let's see if we can undo the crimes of last year.
Yes. All right.
And I will just read a little note to myself, which says, make sure you don't pick third in the East because the bottom of the East is dog shit. So
the bottom of the East. The bottom of the East starts at number three, doesn't it?
It's not a lot of depth there, folks.
Fourth to last isn't much better. So, Adam, you get to pick first in the East.
Hey, before we start, there's a couple of little wrinkles that happened in the last couple of days. Beal being re-signed for Washington and Zion being out for the first couple of weeks of the season really changed. Look, I had a real strategy in place. And those
are you
two
really
things,
telling me that those two things change your strategy? Particularly, I mean, Zion was always going to be in and out all season, Beal being re-signed just means he's under contract longer.
No, him being re-signed means he can't be traded this season. He can be traded next season, but like Denver could have traded for him halfway through or at the start of this season. Like if Washington had gone 2-12. They could have traded Beal, and Denver could have picked up Beal, and all of a sudden become the best team in the West. That can't happen anymore.
It would take a lot more than that to make Denver the best team in the West. But we're talking about the East.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to.
I'm just trying to get Adam to pick Washington at number four.
Well, you're just trying to use up all your pre-written fucking notes. Why don't you wait till we actually draw these teams?
I have the list in front of me, and I can tell you that there is no fours next to the Wizards' name.
There might be a one next to the four.
There is a three, however, next to their name, but we'll get to that later. I am going to right the wrongs of last year and choose the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, yes. That's excellent.
That feels like a fairly safe pick, to be perfectly frank.
If only for the fact that, yes, I think the Sixers will be, really good again and all that, but I just get the impression that if Giannis is healthy, he's going to want to slay worlds, given how annoyed they were with how it ended last year. And I just think he's that kind of guy that he's got to win something.
He was really unhappy with how it ended last year. You have to look at all the things that have gone wrong for the Bucks over the summer. They didn't re-sign Malcolm Brogdon. There's going to be residual Supermax issues around Giannis, whether he re-signs or whether they have to trade, all that kind of stuff. They lost Mirotic. They picked up Kyle Korver and Wes Matthews, who are both washed. Hill and both Lopez's. It's a parade of old wash dudes. And yet every projection seems to have them 3-6 wins ahead of everywhere else in the East. So...
I actually think they're in line for a panic trade for a Chris Paul or a Russell Westbrook or if something goes sideways with someone else, Milwaukee will try and cash in some of their future to make sure that they make the finals this year. I think they feel like they have to make the finals this year.
I feel like that's a call they make late. Oh, yeah, I think that's probably true. I feel like it's a decision they make pretty late, and I don't feel like it's a thing that's going to impact on their regular season form. I think they're still going to be the best team in the East, but it's going to be whether they can compete with the best of the West that makes them do that kind of thing.
They don't have to beat a lot, really.
The Sixers are 4 or 5 games ahead of them, I think they'll make a panic trade.
If the Sixers are 4 or 5 games ahead of them, I think we should all get off the fucking weed. Stay off the weed. So can we pencil you in for the Sixers at 2 then?
The Sixers at 2. Thank you very much. I'll take that very much. I just think the Sixers are going to be impossible to score against. I don't know how many points they are going to score, but like they're just this long, super fucking switchy team. And Simmons made this play the other day where someone gave him like a 10-meter head start, like off a fast break, and he just ate that fucking ground up and pinned it against the backboard. You know, there's only 2 or 3 players in the league that can do something like that. I think he's going to have a jump, but not where everyone was hoping, which is in his jump shot. I actually think he's going to make a jump defensively. I think he's just going to be an eater of worlds defensively in this side this year. So,
but the thing you got to worry about is how many games Embiid plays.
Obviously they got Horford as a backup, but last year, every time Embiid sat, they were like the worst team in the league. On both sides of the ball, Horford's not going to be. He's not a backup. He's a fucking starter, and you're just going to have one of them on the floor all the time defensively. I think that's going to make a big difference.
Yeah, my concern about them is that they're not super deep. I mean, they're still easily the second best team in the East, and arguably the best. Mm-hmm. But it's that bench is not deep enough, and they're always fishing around in the fucking skip out the back. In the buyout market, trying to find people to add. And last year, they weren't anywhere near as successful as they were the year before. Josh Richardson's actually a really important pickup for them in the Jimmy Butler trade, because it'll be the first time Richardson doesn't actually have to basically carry a team like he was with the Heat. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do.
And the The flip side of that is he doesn't feel the need to be the number one or number two option or the number three option. He's quite happy to be the Draymond of the team. And I just think that he will – and the other thing is I think he's actually going to give them a dose of professionalism in that. Like, he will accept his role and just do it fantastically. And I wonder whether Jimmy Buckets really did that. I think Jimmy Buckets was great at getting you a bucket at the end of the game. I don't know whether he was really a good role model for let's actually try and win a fucking championship by doing our role the best we can.
Well, that's certainly something that they're going to find out down in Miami. But So one of the reasons I didn't want to pick third was that the 3 through 6 slab of teams all have flaws and they all have problems.
It's so dicey, isn't it?
Yeah.
But basically, your choice here could determine the whole competition, I reckon.
And
like, if you luck it out and get the actual third best team, that could win it for you because you could pick three and that team could finish eighth quite easily, I reckon.
And because of that, and because I'm literally the worst case scenario has popped up in the East, I have to do the thing that I absolutely have literally said. Fuck picking these guys, see if you can dodge them. I'm going to have to pick the Boston fucking Celtics. And I am choking in my own vomit.
I hadn't actually see you doing that at all. I thought I was an absolute dead cert to get that one next. But
well, the problem is they're cunts. And I don't want to pick them, but you just can't argue with the fact that Kemba is going to fit that team better than fucking Kyrie. And Brad Stevens loves a team of triers, and he's got a team of triers now. He doesn't have a team of superstars. Yeah. And he'll get... That was what we discovered last year, is they will finish about third or fourth every year, no matter who's on the fucking roster.
Yeah, this team will overachieve, whereas last team, you know, a superstar team for Stevens will underachieve. Yeah,
because his mid-major college coach shtick doesn't work with superstars, but it'll work with these guys.
The thing, all the projections I've seen have basically said, where are their defenders? But I think if you're going to score 130 a game, it's probably not really going to matter that much. Like, there's just so many options. You know, it depends on what they want to play and all that sort of stuff. That
can we move on? I already regret having to do that. I feel disgusting.
This is about as enjoyable as me having to pick the Lakers, to be honest.
Oh, look, you get to pick last in the... Yeah, we'll find a way to do it.
I think someone will take the Lakers off my hands this year.
Yes.
You're up again, Adam. So who do you think is going to finish? Well, who do you think is the next best team who nominally will finish fourth?
When I've been looking through various power rankings and sort of going through this, these teams are ranked in the tens when you combine the West and the East. We're down into the mid to low... you know, tens and all that sort of stuff, and that makes me very sad. Oh, God. Look, I'll go the Nets.
Ooh.
Wow.
No, that's not completely out of character. I've seen projections that have these guys very, very high, and I've seen projections that have these guys not making the playoffs at all.
It could go either way, and I mean, they're not, you know, they get their star, but they don't get their big star, I guess, but... It could go either way. It really could. It just depends, I guess, of which version we get.
So last year you jumped on the Lakers, and that was probably a year early. And this kind of feels a little bit like that one.
I'm not doing it for that, I just sort of looked at the teams that were around them and went, it's a crapshoot.
All the teams in this space aren't bad teams, but they've all got reasons that make you think, I'm not sure this team is going to be dramatically better than the other teams around it.
As I said, like, we're four teams into the East, and I could already pick seven teams in the West over the top of these guys. Like, if we were just doing a straight draft, I would have seven teams at least above these guys. So,
that is literally
that's a good reason to pick them fourth.
Well, I have to.
The Doc and I,
you don't have to. You could pick another team. There are other teams in the East.
Yeah, but I don't.
You could pick the Wizards.
No, I told them they had a three beside their name as well. But anyway, that's look. It's just. I don't know.
There are legitimate reasons to be high on the Nets. I mean, Kyrie wins games. That's what he does. Yeah. And if he integrates better with this team, if he has his shit together better, and if he's learnt anything, and I feel like Kyrie's a fucking kid. I mean, he's still in his mid to late 20s. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He's incredibly immature. If he's learned from the experience that he's gone through with the Celtics, if. And that's a big if. He might make a much bigger impact there with the Nets. Now, given the Nets have lost D'Angelo Russell, but they did make some good pickups. They do have a good core. They have an excellent coach and a really good GM. And they want to make noise while they have the opportunity. And they want to make sure they show Kevin Durant that he's made a good decision. So they're certainly going to be going for it.
It was a coin toss. I'll be interested to see what you guys pick next, just to see if I was in the ballpark of where I was thinking anyway. So I'll go there and we'll see how
it Mr. Bezo out. Has the next pick of the from the Eastern Conference.
I'm going to go the Magic.
Okay.
They were a really good defensive side the last half of the year. I think Clifford is a really underrated coach. I think the Doc and I have talked about this before, about coaches who will get your players to be professional and well prepared and stick to a game plan, but probably aren't innovative and sort of next level enough to push you over to the if you get really good players to push you to that championship level. But Clifford's teams have always been just super well prepared. I think Gordon's in that mid 20s age where he's going to make that maturity jump. And I guess I'm banking a little bit on something, anything from Fultz. Like if Fultz turns into a almost starting level point guard in the NBA, like he doesn't have to be a number one draft pick level. He just has to be okay. Like if he's as good as Trae Young, right? Like Trae Young was not that good last year. If you look at his numbers, he really wasn't that good. If Fultz comes out and is as good as Trae Young with the players that they've got around him, that's probably going to be enough to get you fifth or sixth in the East.
I think I said last year, so I really wanted to see Aaron Gordon be good. Like I just like, I don't know, the idea of him. Maybe I'm enamored with that dunk contest as well. Yeah, but
it's a bit hard not to be.
It's like I just really want him to be good. He just seems like not a dickhead. He may well be, but I just he's one of those guys you kind of wait. We want him to take that next step.
Zach Lowe had a really good thing about him, which was if he embraces being like a really super athletic Draymond Green and stops trying to be LeBron, he could be like an amazing player. The problem is that he's trying to be the wrong player. The gifts that he has are not the LeBron type gifts. They're in other areas. So if Clifford can, like he was on that path last year, if Clifford can keep pushing him down that path, they could be a pretty solid side. And that's really all you need to become, you could get third in the East being a pretty solid side. You don't have to be exceptional in the East to make that sort of leap.
But we're not talking about third in the East, we're talking about fifth. And to be honest, I had these guys as a 500 team who probably might not make the playoffs. So this is
I had them at seven in my list, but as I said, 3 through 7 was a 4 through 7.
It's a crapshoot. It's an absolute crapshoot.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is my show again.
This is your show.
And I'm going to make a bet on a team not breaking it up out of pride, out of championship pride, that being the Toronto Raptors.
Very good.
Now, obviously, if they sell everyone for parts, this doesn't work. But I feel like if they don't, and the extension for Lowry kind of indicated both ways, it keeps him around, but it's also a number that someone could be interested in. But hopefully someone could be interested next year, not this year. And continual growth with Siakam and the other kids they brought around there. They've still got those old fellas that they can either trade for young prospects or otherwise. I just feel like this is a little bit like why you would pick the Spurs around this spot in the West, just because they've got a system and you trust in the system.
I think this is a little bit like my Orlando pick, in that if Siakam makes a leap in the first 20 games of the season, like if he suddenly turns into, 75% of Kawhi, and then you don't trade all your pieces, you're like, well, let's try and grow Siakam a little bit more and keep making a run.
And flatly, if this part of the East is a little bit kind of down, They could. I mean, I was considering taking them at three. They were in the conversation for me at three because of the fact that they have that championship pedigree. I mean, 538's projections have them, because it relies so much on past performance, had them massively up. Like they really believe in them. Obviously, it really depends on the post-title letdown and how much Messiah cashes in his chips. But part of this is also informed by how good they were when they didn't have Kawhi on the floor. Because last year they won so many games when he wasn't around. Now, admittedly, they won those games knowing that he was there if they needed him.
The problem for you is probably that Messiah is the anti-Boston Celtics. He's the anti-Danny Ainge.
Yeah, he goes too early, not too late.
Yeah, if he sees the opportunity to pull the trigger, he's got zero sentimentality. He's not going to hold those chips for one fucking second too long. He'll drop the hammer. You know, Gasol, Ibaka, Lowry, they'll all be gone.
And to be honest, it's probably time. He'd rather get off them a year earlier than a year late. He's a bit Bill Belichick, Patriots style in that. But even when they do those decisions, they still put a good football. They put a good football team on the pitch.
What the fuck am I talking about?
this is a system pick, I have to say. Who do you have in the seventh slot, Mr. Adam?
Well, if there's one thing that mass-produced advertising has taught me, it's that this game, apparently, is all about buckets. And so I'm going to go with the buckets. I will have the Heat.
Mr. James Buckets.
With Jimmy.
Now, I think I heard Zach Lowe say that they were in the conversation for third. So this is not a completely ridiculous pick at seven. It's certainly not a particularly ridiculous pick at four.
Yeah, there's enough, you know. Mate, it just depends, really, doesn't it? Like, if he's a complete dick, then they'll, you know, struggle. But if he gets out there and wins games, then there's not a lot to beat around to get into that 3-4 slot, really.
Well, as we've said, and the thing is, I don't think it's so much that I think it's more that people get tired of him because Butler is just so intense. I mean, the turning up for preseason training at 3:30 in the morning, and then the other guys showing. I mean, that's, I think, as some of our followers pointed out, you know, that people are often getting in from the club at 3:30 in the morning and going straight to practice. But, you know.
we should say that
you know, their 13th man is South Beach, who in the regular season is undefeated.
Yeah.
Teams are constantly going down there and getting their fucking asses kicked by the
Lakers back to back.
Jimmy Buckets is a complete cultural fit for Miami. Like they had Richardson on Lowe's podcast, and he was like, Miami isn't for everyone. Like, it's for a quarter of the league can even cope with the type of things that they do there that they insist on, that it's just you have to have a certain mentality to be a Miami player.
I mean, seriously, they had James Johnson came back from the offseason. This is a guy with black belts in every form of MMA you can imagine. He failed the skin fold test. That's how fucking intense they are. They don't fuck about with anybody.
Yeah. So, and I think that is, like, that's playing into Butler's psyche.
Obsessiveness,
Look.
I think they're going to tie themselves out. That's my major concern.
The Heat and Spo have made every player, including LeBron James, fit to the way that they have their culture. So I have a little bit of faith in that system. I just think Butler's such a disruptive player in whatever situation you put him into.
I think he's been disruptive in one place, but really.
But this is a great pick for absolutely. I think this has the most potential to jump you in amount of wins. Because
I don't accept the point that Butler. I mean, apart from his fucking media narrative, that I mean, Butler was incredibly disruptive in a dysfunctional environment in Minnesota.
Yeah,
he was.
He's
excellent.
Been running out of two clubs, man.
He was Chicago. Excellent. I mean, was Chicago functional?
No, yeah.
When they left, I mean, look, it was I think if you put him in a dysfunctional circumstance, he will be unworkable. If you put him in a well-run club, he was excellent in. I mean, even you know, you could ask questions about how well-run that club is, but he was the best. He was the thing that almost got them past the Raptors in Game 7. It took Kawhi falling over, bouncing it off the rim 47 times to get them out, and it was Jimmy Butler who dragged them almost to a W in that game. And if they got past the Raptors, Christ knows how far that team could have gone.
That's a great sliding doors, isn't it? If they'd made the finals, would Butler be a sixer right now?
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't like he was on some Kawhi shit where he definitely wanted to go to LA.
Well, and they could have paid him a lot more money, so.
They wouldn't have kept Tobias Harris. And, you know, I'm yet to be convinced of the utility of Tobias Harris. I think he's, you know, but for the regular season, he's certainly present and accounted for.
Yep.
We are discussing the 8th pick, which is Bezos' pick, in the Eastern Conference, which is our nominal last team into the playoffs. Oh, who do you have?
Oh, man.
There are, and as we said, every team here has some problems.
I sort of have a safe pick and a trendy pick.
Safe picks don't win bets.
Can I tell you one thing that I, in my order, just as a little thing, in my order that I had from 1 to 15... 1 to 7 are all gone now.
The Washington Wizards.
Like, 1 to 7 are all gone. So we're on pace here with...
We're on pace with you. And mind you, you beat Bezo last year quite comfortably. So maybe you should listen to the experts, Bezo. And I don't know what. I don't know what Adam suggested.
I just wanted to point out that you're...
You're going to pick the Chicago Bulls, who have got a lot of... There's been a lot of... noise isn't fair to say. There's been quite a lot of chat around the idea that... the Bulls might be an outside playoff team. The biggest liability is going to be Shaddy Jim, their militant psycho coach.
Well,
he'll either get them to 500 or get himself fired, or both.
I don't know. I don't know if you saw that little note about him this week, in that he's actually a really good coach, but he thinks that he has this personality of an old school drill sergeant coach. You know, that has to, like, yell at the players and make them do...
So he's doing a bit.
Yeah.
He's a bit like with your kids, where you think that I need to be the big, scary, shouty man in order to get the message across, even though it's totally against your skill set. It's just listen any other way sometimes.
Whereas technically he's actually quite a decent coach. I just think that they're going to get a bump from having less injuries this year. They were pretty banged up last year.
But the Bulls are always banged up. They were banged up in the Tibbs era. Have they changed their medical staff since the Tibbs era? I mean, it might just be Tibbs' fault.
Maybe this is a Pelicans
old school
problem,
Pelicans issue. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, is there a good choice at this spot and the next three spots? I don't think there is.
Yeah, there is. The choice you should have made was the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
I got
Depot will be back at some point.
Yeah.
And they were not. They were a playoff team.
No, they
reckon
he's back soon. Yeah, he's back in 5-on-5 or something like that from the other day, I read, and he's apparently, I mean, everybody trains the house down, of course, but, you know, apparently.
Look, Gordon Hayward looked great in 5-on-5 at the start of last season too. Took him a whole season to get back to being even a above replacement NBA player. You're not going to get the same Depot that you did when he was...
No, you're not. You know, and we've only had one really good year of Depot, and that was, you know, after he'd been at various other stops where he wasn't any good. But
was that before or after he was on The Masked Singer?
That's it. Well, at least that, you know, that muscle seems to be working, the vocal muscles. The thing is, I always go with the money, and the consensus odds from all the odds makers have the Pacers as the fourth highest win total in the Eastern Conference, which makes them picking them at ninth. You know, I feel like that's pretty comfortable.
The two players that really stepped up when Home Depot went down last year were Bogdanovich
for sure
and Thad Young, and they're both gone. Like, it just makes me so uncomfortable. It really does.
But the people who make money out of this professionally reckon they're going to be all right. So I reckon it's pretty safe at 9. Jesus, what a generic bunch of boring fucking cunts. Celtics, Raptors, Pacers. This is the thing. I actually have one of my metrics for picking the order of teams I want to pick them is, how fun is it going to be to support these teams?
To support them.
I am none for three. I mean, the Raptors are okay. 1 for 3.
Yeah. The East, like, supporting the East, I've said this since we started this podcast, the East is, you know, the fucking dumb cousin of the NBA.
We'll just let that nonsense fucking sit there with a whole of silence behind it. The conference that has Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo in it, yeah, that's the one. Adam, what do you got at 10? Pick somebody more interesting than Pacers for me.
Well, I'd like to say a prayer, you know, because we're all about thoughts and prayers in America. And I would like to thank, you know, pray the Lord Jesus God that he might protect anything below the waist of Blake Griffin, and I'll take the piston.
Oh, yeah.
That's at 10, that's not bad for a team that will probably be a 500 team and will either be the 8th or the 9th seed in the East.
If Blake's healthy all year, which is unlikely, given that he's already injured again.
But would you like me to read my notes for the Detroit Pistons? Do they exist? Why? Hashtag free Blake. Too many projected wins above the teams below them to pick any further below. But yeah, that's kind of how you feel. Yeah. It's like there's enough bits on this team and there's enough coaching talent that they will win enough games that they will finish about here.
Look, if he plays over 60 games, they could finish 5th. He's that good.
And he was supposed to be hashtag in the condition of his life and all that kind of stuff and, you know, working on a 3 and all that sort of. Because he'd finally had a couple of summers off. Time to work on shit with his health.
He's injured again. He's injured again, though.
Of course he is.
So anyway, what the hell? They're better than the other shit. How's that sound?
It's a defensible pick. Bezo, what have you got to leather?
Come on.
I'm going to go for the Hypercolor Hawks.
Yeah. That's where I was too. See, that's these, exactly where I was.
The thing about these guys is that they might not finish this high, but they're going to be a lot more fun to pull for than any other team in this space. That's why I'm a little bit jealous, because I would have loved to pick these guys because these guys feel like they're half a year too soon, but there's so much upside.
I think they've just got more. Like, okay, you look at all the rest of the teams. Yeah, I guess Washington has a better player. One definitely better player.
You wouldn't pick the Wizards over the Hawks. Would you enjoy picking that? Would you enjoy doing that?
The Hornets, the Cavs, the Knicks, they've all just got nothing really. At least the Hawks have some talent. It's raw. It's absolutely fucking untamed. They've got a good coach.
They play in Atlanta, they're a fun team.
They've got a coach called Lloyd. I always appreciate
Lloyd.
That.
Lloyd Pierce.
Lloyd.
Lloyd.
So which bucket of poo would you like to pick?
I'm up next. You know what? I'm going to lean into this shit teams thing, and I'm going to pick the Wizards.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to lean into it. Good on me. I'm going to pick the fucking five most annoying shit teams in the entire East. I mean, they're terrible. They're terrible.
Well, look, you get a whole season of Beal, though. Like, that's not to be underappreciated.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If they keep Brad Beal, they get 30 wins, and 30 wins is enough for probably 10th place, let alone 12th place.
Yeah, I've been searching through various ones.
They lost Satoransky, didn't they?
Yeah, he's gone to Cleveland. No, he's gone to the Bulls. That's why I picked the Bulls.
Oh, yeah. Because he was good. He was actually promising. But the promise with the Wizards is they actually have something. They have a recognizable fucking plan, and they have a recognizable fucking general manager now. There's some prospect that they might figure some shit out, and they'll probably be better without John Wall anyway.
Yeah,
they're Brad Beal's team now, so it's better than the alternatives. Who do you have out of this? What corn would you like to pick out of the shit with the last three teams here, Adam?
You know, I have
we should just remind folks what's left: the New York Knickerbockers, the Charlotte.
Aren't they the New York?
And the Cleveland Comic Sans.
Aren't they the New York Power Forwards?
The New York, everyone is playing Power Forwards.
Last year, I had a bit of a soft spot for these guys, and I've always liked a bit of an underdog, and I really want to support homegrown Australian talent.
Curry's playing for the Nets, isn't he?
Kevin Love is the whitest black guy in the NBA. And
he'll be playing for Portland by the third week.
And I've looked at all these things, and I look at that, and I just think, nah, I have to go for the Knicks.
Oh, yes, 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 that is fantastic.
Why are you cheering? The Knicks will definitely finish above whatever team you're going to pick. They're going to be better because the thing is that unlike the Cavs and the Hornets, they're going to be trying to win. And that's got to count for something against the fucking Cavs who are going to trade everybody and sink below the surface of Lake Erie.
The Knicks could start 5 power forwards. That is how bad their team is constructed.
That could be the new wrinkle.
Could be the new small.
Imagine that.
The new small ball or whatever.
The new medium-sized ball. The new fat ball.
Oh, my God.
The new power ball. I mean, the Knicks could be catastrophic. I mean, they will be. They could
but
be
that's,
okay.
They're still the Knicks.
They will be at least trying to win. I mean, the thing about the Knicks are a shambles, but I mean, we're picking between, as I say, we're picking peanuts out of poo at this stage.
I just can't, there's no way I'm picking the Hornets. Not like they are a shit show.
At this stage, it slops, and we might as well talk about those the teams as a group. I mean, the Cavs, I think they're going to have a medium name college coach coming in. We know that kind of big to medium name college coaches generally fail in the NBA because their shtick doesn't work with professional adult fucking men who are being paid to play rather than teenagers they can bully and abuse. So I really don't know how well that'll work. The Cavs do at least have Colin Sexton, who may get
and
good.
And Kevin Love. And they've still got Kevin Love, remember.
They got Kevin Love, but we're not expect. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't expect that. You wouldn't expect Kevin Love to hang around. So we might as well just throw in. Who's your pick at 14?
Look, I'll just take one. I just think the Hornets are going to be the worst team in basketball. I think
you're absolutely
every,
right.
Every year there's the, you know, is the worst team in basketball. Could they beat Kentucky or could they beat, you know, X college team or could.
And the answer is fucking absolutely they could because
they're professional. This team might actually go the closest to, I don't really know, like Terry Rozier is their star? Like, fuck.
Scary Terry and Nick Batum, how's Pop's coaching tree going?
Yeah, that's not going that well. His coaching tree is going excellently.
I mean, this is an ex-Pop guy. This is the and I'm blanking on his name. That's how well he's going.
James. But Baeger or something like that.
Hey, Boriega. Yeah. That's who it is. Yeah, basically, my notes were Orlando North, but then again, I had Orlando as Charlotte South. So I didn't really think Orlando were going to be any good. So it's kind of generic fucking Southern team that plays in blue-ish. And, I mean, they're going to have nice. The court will look nice and the uniforms will look nice. And they'll have MJ on the sideline. And that's the biggest problem is that MJ can't, it's a little bit like Diego Maradona coaching your football team. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that wasn't.
So that's our Eastern Conference. We have Bucks, Sixers, Celtics, Nets, Magic, Raptors, Heat, Bulls, Pacers, Pistons, Hawks, Wizards, Knicks, Cavs, Hornets.
All right. Yes. I need to go and get more whiskey. Can we have a short break?
Should we have a short interlude?
Adam.
Well, Bezos doing that. Were there any other sports takes you felt like you needed to fire off the starboard bow?
We just crashed out of the World Cup.
Who's we?
Yeah,
the world. We're two out of three of us. You know, still Australian.
We drew with New Zealand.
My argument with rugby, right? I keep saying this to people who.
Will you go and get your fucking balls?
I just want to get this off, right? I've been having a.
Gotta get these bars off, man. I'll lay down some beats.
There's some people that are like still fully invested in rugby, and I'm like,
oh god, isn't it sad?
Would our 5'8" and halfback in rugby start in any NRL club as a playmaker?
Queensland Cup.
I don't think they. Yeah, I think they'd struggle to play Queensland Cup.
I reckon
Cup.
That might be the level they're at.
Like, and that's essentially what our, like, 90% of our rugby side is. It's a Queensland Cup side with a couple of good players.
But if you believe in the superiority of rich people, that they're inherently better people because they went to an expensive school, then you can buy into the delusion that they're actually better. Doing a sport than the Oiks. Perfect. And well, that's why rugby is going to die in Australia. And I'm going to piss on its grave.
I will come back. You guys can talk Bathurst.
I've got a theory about Bathurst because this is how I've traditionally watched it as well over the last few years.
Drunk.
Can we just line up? Can we just line up?
I used
every
to watch
car?
Bathurst so drunk, and sometimes I watch the highlights from like 2009-ish, and I'm like, oh, that's what happened. Really?
I just want to give every car 25 litres of fuel, about 12 laps, and say, all right, fuck it, go for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where the entertainment is in it these days because what happened like the first six, 5 hours?
Well, actually, that's the thing. It was a bad race. It was boring as shit. And then at the end, Penske cheated and everyone kind of went away feeling shitty about the whole thing. It was really crap. And they're probably going to be done on some race fixing kind, not race fixing perhaps, but, you know, manipulating the results of a race kind of rule. But it's not going to change the result of the race. They might get fined, but they are by far the richest team on the grid, and they're bankrolled by the biggest race team in the world, who have arms in IndyCar and NASCAR and US sports cars and whatever else. So it really feels kind of a little bit like that World Cup where they ended in a draw. It was just kind of, oh, really? Is this what we're doing? Is this how we're deciding this shit? Because basically the team with the most ability to pay off a fine did something illegal and is going to pay the fine to in order to do it. And I was hearing a podcast with another team that you said, if they got fined $200,000, we'd go out next year and deliberately do the same thing, because if $200,000 is the bill to win yourself a Bathurst, we'll pay that.
Yeah, no worries. Just watching as Australia, when we hadn't just lost the World Cup, we lost hilariously in a crappy intercept. So that makes me feel a lot better about that as well. So yeah, good rugby on them. No, I was a bit cold by that, and I usually like watching the last of the 20 laps. And
you like buying a ticket to the last 20 laps.
Yeah. I love buying a ticket, especially except for all the crap fuel calculations from whoever the fuck.
That kind of ruins it too. But I mean, I did enjoy at least the novelty of, because Red Bull realised that they'd been fucked by Penske, so they tried something a little bit different. They threw out WinCup as a hare to try and entice McLaughlin into using too much fuel and getting himself into trouble, but they couldn't do it. And the problem was that, because of the safety – so, folks, if you've missed this somehow, basically McLaughlin's teammate held everybody back at this sort of second or third to last safety car thing so that McLaughlin had enough time to pit and get out in front of everybody else. And it was incredibly blatant, and they tried to make up some shit on the radio that they didn't know where the yellow flag zone was while they were telling McLaughlin, oh, yeah, we know where it is. It's here. Just go like hell for the pit lane. it was comically bad. It was comically corrupt. But
I just feel like all the racing has been taken out of it. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's a real bumper to bumper,
They've got serious problems. They've got serious problems, supercars. They've got some of their longest standing teams are going bust. I mean, Gary Rogers, the former Valvoline team, the team that had the Volvos there for a few years, they've pulled out of supercars because they can't afford to continue because their sponsor is pulling out. So they're just going to stick with TCRs, the little 2-liter cars, and various other series. It's just too expensive to be in the series. So they need to make massive changes. They need to improve the racing. They need to do what a lot of other series are doing, which is hack huge amounts of downforce out the cars because they don't race well against each other. They can't follow each other close. So they need to do a lot of things. But let's see if they do it, because obviously with a lot of these series, the teams are very important in the decision-making process. And turkeys don't vote for Christmas. So it'll be interesting to see whether the big teams actually get in behind this stuff.
Yeah.
Has he gone to fucking the Isle of Islay or somewhere? Has he actually gone to the Orkneys to get the whiskey, or what's he doing?
Hi, I'm back. I just had to get some carbohydrates to refresh myself for the Cutthroat Western Conference.
Cutthroat Western Conference, for which I have the first pick. I wonder who you would pick first in the Clippers West.
Okay.
Cool.
What? Okay.
Well, that's who I had first, but I mean, it's not much.
If you don't have the Clippers first in the West, fucking freezing hot takes me now. If you don't have the Clippers as the best team in the West, given that they were a incredibly deep team before they added Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, I don't know what to say to you. Even if Kawhi plays 50 games, they're going to be the best team in the West.
What if Paul George plays 40 games?
Still going to be there. They got Mo Harkless.
Okay.
They got Pat Beverly. We can keep going. They got Trez. They've just got so many 3.5 out of 5 players. You've got a big two, and then they've just got everyone else is good. Literally everyone else is good. It's not like one of these other teams where you have a big two and a bunch of shit you've scraped off the floor. Like you're hanging desperately hoping that Iggy's buyout falls your way, even though Iggy was garbage in the regular season and didn't play at all last year. And they could get Iggy in the buyout market. So I'm very comfortable with picking the Clippers first in the West.
I think they're one of the best constructed sides in the West.
I mean,
Zach
Lowe made this point. What's the most important player type in the modern NBA? It's a big wing who can shoot. You can hit threes, play D, get their own shot.
And they got two of the best.
They got two of the best ones in the fucking league. There are some teams that don't even have half of one. I mean, Denver have got half of one. So it's kind of, what are we talking about here?
Despite that, I'm still going to pick Denver at two.
Excellent.
Well, somebody has to.
So Denver.
I mean, they're a good side.
Like, and
they're just
everyone.
Not, I mean, who cares about Denver?
Everyone thought they were going to be like 6-7-8 in the West last year, and they essentially won the West. They're not going to get worse. They're deep. They are the best team equipped to they literally have one player that can't get injured, and that's Jokic. Everyone else,
and Jokic is in shape for the season. Round is a shape. We've established this.
This is the thing. He hardly ever misses games. He's never been fucking fit, but he doesn't miss any time. So what's more important, looking like fucking Dwight Howard, peak Dwight Howard, or actually playing 82 games at his level? I know what I'd rather.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. We are part of his team. I mean, they are going to, and they have the home ground advantage of playing at altitude. So they are going to be a really strong regular season team. What were they, second last year?
Yeah. And second because they tanked their way out of first because they tried to get that favorable.
And then shat the bed against Portland. Shit, you fucking cunts.
And they've still got a few wrinkles
MPJ,
and improvements to make.
He could be anything. He could be everything. Michael Porter Jr. is in the moments he's had in preseason could be a real difference maker.
Mm-hmm. All right,
but they're not.
What have you got? Come on! I want to hear you say.
This is fun.
Do you know what they say about the definition of insanity is? Don't you?
It's picking the Denver Nuggets at second.
He's going to do it. This is going to be awesome.
Well, I did have the Denver Nuggets at the second, but the definition of insanity, of course, is doing the same thing twice and expecting the outcome to be different. So I will take the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes.
Why are you celebrating him making the choice that will make sure that he beats you again?
Because I think this is the side that has the biggest potential to absolutely fucking implode this season.
Sure, but they also have the potential to be the best. They are the only team I'd be worried about for taking number one off the Clippers. Because they have LeBron fucking James and Anthony fucking Davis playing for them. I mean, they've got the best two players, the best two big two, the best big two. Words are difficult at this stage. The best big two anywhere in the fucking NBA. There's nobody better than those two. And if they click, it's fucking over.
Yeah, okay. I think Golden State have warped everyone's perceptions a little bit. Golden State had this really heavy top end, but their next level players were still competent players. The Lakers have fucking JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard.
The fucking
and
Warriors had JaVale McGee.
But the
Warriors
had Andrew Bogut.
The Warriors
fourth best player. Like, their best three players play the same position. They all are powerful. It's none of them. I do not think this is a very well put together side. I realize that everyone thinks they're just going to overpower everyone with talent.
Side.
But
Can I just put in my two cents worth? And
I think the person who picked the team should probably have a chance here,
Can I? 2 years ago, LeBron led a side to the NBA Finals, and then without him, they come last.
Yeah. What conference was that again?
Doesn't matter, though.
No, it does matter.
It does matter. I'm sorry. The Eastern Conference is not the same as the Western Conference. It hasn't been.
No,
for a
it's
decade.
More. It's more
but
West.
He has help. No one's going to be surprised to see these guys eat the world. No one's even going to blink an eyelid. I just go exactly that. It's LeBron, and he feels like winning this year because he hasn't got many years left. Probably
and he's got a movie to promote.
That's right.
He's not finishing eighth in the West in a year. He has a movie to promote.
Okay.
And Anthony Davis has got us so fucking much to prove. Now, if either of them get injured, then obviously all this is out the window.
Well, that's the same
is true of any of these teams because they're all remarkably fragile. You know, this great Western Conference that Bezo is currently soiling himself over, if any of these teams lose a player, they're all fucked. They're fucking dead in the water. Maybe the Clippers can deal with it because they're just so fucking deep. But, you know, if Denver lose Jokic, pack up, go home. You know, forget about it, come back next year. The Lakers lose either of AD or LeBron for any extended stretch, they're facing an 8 seed. It's just how that's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. Cool.
Do I get the next pick?
Next. You do.
I get the next pick. I'm not going to pick a team from the East, so I'm not going to look at that page. Oh.
I'm really worried. There's a team's name staring at me here.
I'd love to pick just to start some shit. There's a team I should pick because their projections are so high, but I'm going to pick Bezos Utah Jazz, so he can't pick them.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Eat my fucking ass, you bitch.
I actually think they have the potential to win the West. If everything clicks for them this year, and I think they've done brilliantly at taking pressure off Donovan Mitchell. I think Bogdanovich was so underrated for the Pacers. I think like when Home Depot went down, he really stepped up. And if he gets to be the third option there and just come in and just fucking gun when he wants to, I think this side has the most potential to pop. And I actually am excited to see.
But they're a team of four out of fives. The whole team, right across the board, they are excellent. They are just they don't have a flaw. Conley was such a fantastic pickup, as was Bodge, which is what I'm going to call him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I had them there too. I would have taken them, no problem.
I had them second. I would have picked them at two.
I threw up between Denver and Utah.
You have been drinking heavily. So I'm not surprised. Yeah.
I just think Denver like proved a few things last year. They haven't gotten
worse.
They
could lose to the terrible Portland side that didn't have a use of Nurkic in it. I mean, that's kind of where I come back to with the Nuggets is that, but you lost to those guys, and those guys aren't any good. Like, they're good, but they're not that good, and you lost to them. So what the fuck are you doing? I feel like the Nuggets learned sometimes you can have a positive learning experience from being in the playoffs. I don't feel like the Nuggets had that. I feel like the Nuggets had the opposite of that because all the things that they feel insecure about with their game were reinforced.
Well,
speaking of Portland, I'm going to take them next, I think.
Bugger.
I'm not saying bugger.
Bugger.
Look, I think they have the most potential to drop.
Yeah, they do. They're really, really dependent on Dame and CJ, and it's very clear that Dame and CJ aren't going to load manage, so they're going to be susceptible to missing 10, 15 games each, which they did last year.
There's still that side that just take advantage of the end of season tanking and come up at fourth.
Well, they are a very good regular season team. They've finished third the last couple of years. They're just very good at that.
If I was picking, like, if we were doing this on how you finish after finals, I wouldn't be that confident. But I actually think they're just they're well coached, well put together. Lillard is he's probably the Tim Duncan of his generation, like in the fact that he inspires his teammates and he gets more out of his teammates than you actually
should.
He's
the best leader in the NBA,
I'm expecting a big jump from Whiteside simply by being in Lillard's.
You haven't been watching him in preseason then. He's fucking garbage. He's making the same dreadful mistakes, the same, you know, he's doing all the dumb shit that got him right out of Miami. And Nurkic isn't going to be back until February and probably not at all. So that's why I don't actually have the Blazers making the playoffs. And that could be, you know, the South's fan in me expecting the worst. But I was looking forward to an opportunity not to pick them because I don't want to.
I had a toss up between them and another team at this spot. And a little bit like the Spurs, it's just like, well, I'm going to pick against them when they don't. Because every
there's
year,
there's a little
Portland's
bit of Spurs
like
in it, isn't it? There's a little bit of pick, you know, you pick against the system
every
at your peril.
Year. It's like
that's what I felt with the Raptors. You pick against the system at your peril. The Raptors have outperformed our expectations every year for the past couple. The whole league, I had to look, when looking back, the Raptors kept finishing higher than we thought they were going to finish every year that we've done this competition. So, and you know, the Spurs and the Blazers have that system faith that you might as well take. I'm aware that didn't make grammatical sense, but
No, we got it.
What do you got? So, what do you got at position number six, Adam?
I have two teams written down here.
You probably got as many as 10 teams written down here because there are 10 teams.
Well, I do, but I have two in the next two slots that I have here. One of them contains two basketball players I detest watching the most.
Yes.
And one of them has two basketball players I enjoy watching the most.
But this is a wins pool and you need the team that wins the most games.
Well,
I should actually point that out because that is a little bit different from previous years. So yeah. In previous years, we have ranked it on the basis of the sum of rankings, which means, you know, we add up, you know, first, third, seventh, whatever, and whoever has the lowest number wins. This year, we're just going to go straight on wins because it makes more sense. It's easier for people to understand.
I don't think it'll make much difference.
Well, it hasn't made any difference in any of the years before.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to, as we said before, go for the team here that I will enjoy supporting the most, and I will pick the Golden State Warriors.
And I do not blame you for that at all.
Because I enjoy watching Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and I still think and they'll get Clay back eventually, and I still think that any team that picks up even remotely fit Warriors in the playoffs is going to be shitting thine pants. And my other option...
And to be honest, they're kind of the opposite of the Blazers in that... You reckon that no matter where they finish, they're going to finish higher in the playoffs than they are in the regular season. Because when they eventually get all their shit together and they get into tournament play, they're probably going to finish higher than they would have any other way. All the noise about them not making the playoffs just feels incredibly stupid to me.
I think that the other thing is too, like we talked about Harden is this absolute weapon, right? You know, just destroyer of worlds. In the regular season, you know, this ISO player, this brilliant player. Steph's basically been deferring to, you know, Durant for a couple of years. We don't know what he looks like. We've forgotten what he looks like when he is that hardened player. And this year he will have to – he's got no Clay. He has to be that hardened player for them to make the finals.
And guess what else?
Super excited to see what he looks like this year.
Because Draymond's going to have to shoot ball more. Offensive Dre is something we haven't seen for a while either.
Oh, we've seen him be offensive, but we've kicking people in the balls and that sort of stuff. But no, you're right.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the period where Luke Walton was coaching them when Steve Kerr was out with his leaky fucking spine. That Dre, they need to get that Dre back. And all they have to do is just give him a green light to shoot. And we could, you know, this could be fun. It's not going to be as good as previous Warrior seasons. But it's going to be a lot more fun.
Mm.
Well, the other thing is that everyone's sort of forgotten that they traded for D'Angelo Russell. It was really fucking good last year. And Steve Kerr's pretty good at figuring out how to maximize people's talents. Like, the gravity of Steph, he's never enjoyed something like that. And I actually think Steph being this absolute fucking, I'm going to shoot from wherever I can because... that's what I have to do, is going to make life really fucking easy for D'Angelo Russell.
Just state the obvious, he's never played with anybody who's got the gravity of Steph, but not even anybody who's got, you know, a tenth of the gravity of Steph. I mean, who's he played with that would pull other people off the ball? He wasn't there when LeBron was in the Lakers. He's only ever played with other kids.
Yep.
Karis LeVert, maybe. I mean, that's the only dude he's played with who could draw attention off him.
But he only really took off at the Nets when LeVert went down.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Which is a mark against him with the Warriors because, you know, it's almost like he needs to be the single focus, and he's never going to be the single focus on the Warriors. But as you say, Steve Kerr and his coaching staff are reasonably good at this shit. I think we just put a bit of faith in them. And at six, it feels like, you know, a little bit like with the Raptors. These guys are too good to be here, even though they're missing major parts.
Yeah, I'm actually regretting my Portland pick. I really think I should have picked Golden State here.
You should have.
If it's any consolation, if you had taken the Warriors, I would have taken the Trailblazers. So, you know, okay. I don't think it's that bad.
But. Well, I'm going to hark back to the Eastern Conference and pick the team that I know I will fucking hate watching, but they might get me some beer, the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, and they're exactly what I mean. Look, the two men I cannot stand.
I mean, the thing about the Rockets is they're projected they are projected to finish equal first in the West. And that's what we're talking about. We're picking them, we're arguing about picking them seventh in the West because they are such a miserable bunch of fucking dickholes. But they're just, I mean, they'll win a lot of regular season games. This is where they'll make their money. They'll be a really good regular season team, but they're going to be no fucking fun to cheer for. And they are just such a shambles. They're such a fucking omni-shambles. It's a little bit hard to talk about them without talking about all the Hong Kong shit and, you know, all the Frittata, Maury, Mike D'Antoni contract beef and the fact that Frittata bought the whole team on tick and he can't afford to pay for it, so he's cheaping out and not re-signing anybody. And, you know, I mean, the Rockets-Lakers games are going to be fun this year with LeBron basically lashing out at Maury because he felt uncomfortable in China because the heavies were leaning on him. I mean, I didn't even know LeBron played in Hong Kong, but apparently they were burning his jersey. You know, I didn't realize he never took his talents to there.
These guys just have the reason I just – look, I came into this podcast thinking whatever you do, do not end up with the Houston fucking Rockets because they have such Phoenix Suns, such New York Knicks vibes. It's just freaky. And the Knicks have had good players. The Suns have had really good players. It doesn't fucking matter. If you've got a shit owner, things go badly quickly. And if Maury and D'Antoni are still there at the end of the season, I will fucking be so surprised. This side is going to be the bottom of the West for the next 10 years. I think their owner is that bad. I think they're a complete fucking shit show.
I just keep thinking back, you know, you think back to Russ and his MVP, you know, his triple-double extraordinaire. They came seventh. Like, and so now you've got
which
two guys.
Which is literally where I've got them. So even if all you have is Russ and James Harden jacking shit up, they're still going to come seventh.
Yeah, that's. I think this is the appropriate place to pick them.
I think anybody putting – look, Vegas has them equal first. There's no – I think that's an exercise in getting money out of people. There's no fucking way they're going to be first in the West. Apparently, the Clippers, the Jazz, and the Rockets, they've got them all projected about 54 wins. There's no fucking way they're getting 54 wins.
No.
Yeah, I can't say it.
This is the place to pick them. And, like, hey, if everything goes brilliantly for them this year.
It's still a fair argument in your head, though, over them versus, you know, whoever's behind them, like the Spurs and the Pelicans and the Mavs and, you know, whoever's to follow. You think, worst case, you know, betting against the Spurs with all that system, you know, it's hard. You have those arguments in your head and you realize this is just a game. Who gives a fuck?
Speaking of which, Mr. Beasley.
System pick.
I am going to pick my favorite player in the NBA at the moment. I'm going to pick the Dallas Mavericks.
Ooh. Different system pick.
I fucking love Luka, and I love this Luka and Porzingis pick. There was a whole heap of clips from a game the other day of Luka and Porzingis running the pick and pop or pick and roll, and all the different ways that Luka was just dumping the ball to Porzingis. You know, dunks, pops to 3-point shots, pops to mid range. Look. Those guys are just going to have a ball playing next to each other. Carlisle is a good coach. They have some pretty solid pieces around them. I don't expect them to finish third in the West, but I expect them to really push. And
It feels like a year too soon for playoffs, but it's going to be fun, apart from Mark Cuban being, you know, the ultimate tool rack.
Yeah, like that's the only thing. Like Cuban is just a shiny knight. You hate picking his sides, but I think Luka's still underrated. I can't believe I'm saying this after the season he had last year. I still think
he's underrated.
Yeah, that Zion is the shiny new toy and everyone's forgotten Luka. The dude is fucking he's a fucking freak, man. He is a power forward. Small forward playing as a point guard.
It's his second year. Yeah. It's his second year. He's going to be better. It could be so much fun. And they've got other bits around him. They've got Mo Bamba. They're not just a two-man show, but they are still working shit out. And it does feel like a year. Next year, if it all goes well, they're in the eight.
Yeah.
They're playing playoff games. They might be hosting playoff games.
If Luka and Porzingis play 65 games each, Fuck, man. Like, those two guys are just so talented.
Yeah.
Like,
the only reason you wouldn't say so is because they'll be fighting the Blazers and, you know, a whole lot of other teams for that eighth place in the West.
Yeah. But they have, as a top two level talent, like, we talked a lot about, you know, you got AD and LeBron, you got Russ and Harden, you've got Dame and CJ. Look, there's a lot of twos, you know, Kawhi and Paul George. These guys have as much talent in their top two as anybody. They're just
unproven. As much potential.
Yeah, and if they fulfill that potential, then they've got as much chance as anybody. But Porzingis is sort of like this great, you know, he's a little bit Greg Oden-ish, not quite.
Yeah, he's been injured for a very, very long time. So
yeah, so let's see what happens. But look,
but the Mavs kept Kirk. The Mavs kept Dirk. Kirk. Apparently the Mavs are now keeping Kirk Goldsberry on the court. The Mavs kept Dirk on the court for many, many years when he was not capable of running up and down on the same spot. So the Mavs doctors must be decent-ish. So it'd be interesting. And we know that the Knicks are fucking morons. So maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say the mental relief you have from leaving New York must be just intense.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
So. Yeah, that's what I'm counting on. So, yep, that's what I'm going to pick. The Mavs.
Adam, who do you think will be narrowly missing out on the eight, or maybe in your case, not narrowly missing out on the eight? Who's your next favourite team?
Or being the person you pick outside the eight that you hope jumps into the eight, because they always do. I'll take the San Antonio Spurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As you fucking should, and as anybody with any right-minded person would at this stage, because you don't bet against the system. No. The futility of betting against the Spurs. And they're getting, you know, DeJounte Murray back and various other bits and pieces. Everyone's getting a little bit older, like Aldridge and Rudy Gay and all that sort of stuff. But they're still the fucking Spurs, and this is still Greg Popovich's show. And
did you see the preseason game they had against the Rockets? And Murray held Harden to like 23% from the field. And it's just like, who plays defense in the fucking preseason for a start?
Somebody who has a bit of stuff to blow off.
Yeah.
A little bit of steam that they need to get off their system.
Like, I think they will be just boring as fuck to watch this year, but amazingly defensively.
It depends how much LaMarcus they depend on. But, I mean, they're going to be here or two places higher. Going to be here.
He's had his best three shooting years the last 3 years. So, you know, take that from what you will. Like, if I didn't, I just purely enjoy Luka more. That's the only reason I picked them above the Spurs. So, who have you got, Doc?
Who have I got at 10? I'm going to go for one of those upside picks that will be fun. I know it's not going to end well. It is the New Orleans Pelicans.
A little bit
like the Mavericks. The Mavericks are a year too soon. These guys are multiple years too soon.
But they've got a good team.
Zion will be godlike for the 15 minutes he's not injured. He may Embiid his way to missing Rookie of the Year because he might miss too many games. Zoe looks good with them. You know, they've got all those other Lakers bits and pieces with Ingram and Hart. They've got JJ Redick. They've got, you know, Drew Holiday. They've got enough stuff to actually be better than a 10th place team.
Right. They've only got to come 10th.
The problem is that there's a lot of other teams in the Western Conference.
I actually think they've got a really good side without Zion. Like, if... And I think...
And they better get used to it.
Well, I actually think that the Lakers are the West version of the Knicks, where players leave the Lakers and suddenly are not in this dysfunctional, fucked-up situation and look a lot better. Like, Lonzo looks like an NBA player. He looks confident.
Apart from his shot, which is busted ass, just like his brother. You've seen his highlights of him. It looks like a man, you know, hurling a watermelon into a bin. It's not good.
I think you're right. I think next year they are a lock for the eight. This year.
But then again, we've said about 10 teams are a lock for the eight. Mm. So it's going to be fun. I mean, you've got the Rockets submarining in the future, and there's certainly a timeline in which that happens, but I'm not sure who drops out in order for the Mavericks and the Pelicans and perennial contenders, the Spurs, to all vanish into insignificance. It's going to be a little bit it's always a shit fight at the bottom of the West.
It'll be something like Kawhi playing 30 games or AD playing 40 games, which will completely decide how 9, 10, 11 in the West pans out, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because there's only two bad teams in, well, maybe two and a half bad teams in the West, maybe. Oh, all right. I am going to pick the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Thought you would.
What's interesting about the Thunder is how completely apart Vegas and the 538 style projections have these guys. It's like dramatically different. And I suppose it depends on what you think the team's actually going to do. The kind of the ELO and the Raptor numbers have them at like 45, 46 wins. But Vegas has them at 31 and like 13th in the West. So it's really a question of what path this team takes. And you're taking best case path, basically. You're taking the SGA stays and is really good. Chris Paul tutors him. Steven Adams is still around.
So let me lay out my case for the best case scenario for the Thunder, right? Yeah. Chris Paul can't be traded. Like no one is willing to eat that contract, so they've got to have him for the whole year. He turns Steven Adams into a pick and roll weapon. Steven Adams makes the biggest defensive jump, metrics jump in history, because he is going to, he's going to go from what, 5 rebounds a game to 20 rebounds a game. He got 13 rebounds in a quarter the other day in a preseason game. He didn't average 13 rebounds a game in the NBA last year.
The Russ effect.
He is going to eat the fucking glass. Do you know who's made the biggest jump in defensive rebounds in the NBA in the last 5 years? Enes Kanter, when he left the fucking Thunder and went to another team, jumped 10 rebounds a fucking game from being away from Russ. I just think that they have a good team. Gallinari was good last. I think they have a bunch of good players that are not good trade assets. Like, no one actually wants them. So they're going to have to stay on the Thunder all year. SGA, I realize why the Clippers had to do what they did. I think he is going to be an absolute fucking gun. Like, he's a good player.
If that's the environment for him to grow up in, though, you know, that might not be a space for him.
Well,
it depends how willing Chris Paul is to teach the fucker. You know, that's really the story.
Yeah. The thing that fascinates me about Paul is everything I've read, everything that I've researched says that he is an amazing off-field guy. You know, he organizes team dinners, he looks after players, but he's just this absolute pain in the fucking ass on the court. Is this based on
watching State Farm videos and seeing how nice he is in them? Because those are commercials.
No, no.
And his fake twin is involved in them.
No, like just everything I've read over the years says that he is really good at the off-field stuff, but he is just, no one likes playing with him on the court. Yeah, like he's just this absolute fucking maniac to play with on the court, and it wears pretty thin pretty quick. That's why I'm picking them to make this spot, because this is the first year, and I actually think the first year of Chris Paul is the best year of Chris Paul, and it goes downhill from there.
Also, the other years of him involve him being 38 years old, so.
That's true. But, like, if he plays 60 games, it doesn't matter, because you just get more of SGA. Like,
Chris Paul was good last year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure SGA can play.
When he played, he was.
Or he can fucking learn, because he's young.
And the other thing is, I think their coach will be so relieved to be actually to be able to run some stuff and not have to just play Russ ball, because I think he's actually a good coach.
As an ex-college guy, too, he can do all that fucking college shit.
I actually think he wants to be seen as an NBA coach, not a college coach. I think he wants to be an NBA coach, whereas I think a lot of the problems with college coaches is they want to coach like they did in college. They don't actually want to become NBA coaches. Yeah. I think he has a real desire to succeed in the NBA. So that might be the difference.
It could be. Or they might finish 13th, as Vegas has them finishing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to again back the little engine that could, the team that dared to stick its head up into the 8, have a look around and thought, it's nice here, we probably don't belong in here, we're wearing the wrong shoes, so we'll just duck back down. But I just like them anyway. I'm going to take the Sacramento Kings.
The Kangs have lost their position on the Bulls podcast franchise rankings. They're trying to, you know, they're obviously trying to unsettle Buddy Hield and get rid of him somehow, which bumps them up. But they almost look like a proper basketball franchise these days.
I think the Knicks have reclaimed that, haven't they, by picking 19,000 power forwards. For
it is the James Dolan Perpetual Trophy.
The good thing about that for the Knicks, though, is if someone goes down, they can just look at anybody in the crowd and go, can you play power forward? Cool, come on, yeah, suit up, let's go.
I just want the Morris brothers to, you know, bounce more balls off people's heads and get ejected. That's just nuts. Oh, dear.
They have a brand, and their brand hygiene is immaculate.
They're leaning right into
it. Unquestionable. Even more so than the Lopez brothers have lent into their kind of weird, hairy Disney freak kind of shit going on.
I just think they're the little engine that could. No one gives a shit about them, which is why they win more games than you probably think they should. So
yeah, that's the thing about the Kings is I've had the Kings a few times in the last few years. And you always think they're going to be fucking terrible. And they often just end up finishing 10th.
Yeah.
Because they just win enough games to do it. And at this end of the conference, you can gain a lot out of a team that finishes 10th who you think should finish 13th.
I'm a little bit worried that they're going to trade away their actual professional players that know what they're doing, which is the other Bogdanovich and Bielsa. I can never remember that dude's name. But like that,
Bielsa's the coach of your fucking championship soccer team. He's the man sitting on a bucket, spying on Frank Lampard. Stop spying on me.
They've got a couple of like strong European players who are actually competent and know what they're doing, and they're going to fuck them off for.
Didn't Ilyasova go there, or one of the guys that the
there? And who else?
One of the guys that fucking the Sixers were trying to retain the year before last. Was going to go to Europe and then reneged and then went to the Kings for a whole lot of Vlade's money.
Harrison Barnes is.
They're not going to be great, but they're going to be better than
Bielka,
which is about all
Bielka.
You need.
Bielica.
It's probably Bielica.
They do have this guy.
Trust the one wog on the.
They do have a new coach apparently too, who I've seen litter a couple of teams' names before too. So. Don't they?
Yeah, that's the other thing is he's not exactly out of the cloud that is surrounding him yet. So
yeah, they're still in a. They might not be top of the dysfunctional power rankings, but they're not. They're certainly not out of the playoff spots. Mm. They're in the Champions League spots. They might still automatically qualify.
So,
time
for the weed.
Looking at the shit that's left, I'm going to take the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yep,
you sort of have
to. I have no faith in them.
You sort of have to, don't you?
Yeah, there's not a lot else you can do. I mean, Flip's kid's probably not going to make it, eh? He's probably going to get the ass. They've got a whole lot of overrated high draft flops who need to do something. Maybe Andrew Wiggins will take to heart that he wasn't considered in the top 100 NBA players. And he might actually do something about it rather than sulking. Maybe Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, they've got so much talent on paper. They've got enough talent on paper to be up with the Mavs, but they're not. And the reason for that is that they've got a whole bunch of fucking disaffected, disinterested, egotistical little boys who need to pull finger if they want to make it anywhere in this league.
Look, if they were in the East, they'd be a heartwarming story about a famous coach's son making good and Cat making the jump and they'd finish sixth in the East. But they're not. They're in the fucking West. No,
they wouldn't finish sixth in the East. They're not better than the Hawks. They're not better than the Hawks, so they're not finishing. They might be a couple of places higher in the East, but they're finishing somewhere between the Pistons and the Hawks.
Covington is an interesting panic trade candidate, I reckon. Like he could actually move the needle for a championship side. Somewhere. Well,
that's also the point, is that they've got enough. It's not just the young draft picks who are getting older and older by the day. They've got good stuff. They got quite a good haul in that Jimmy Butler trade. They've got Šarić and Covington, who are excellent fucking basketball players.
No, Šarić plays for my team now, mate.
Has he gone to your team?
Yep, he plays for my team.
Why?
I don't know. They traded someone for him.
So you're going
to pick- Why would you go to the Suns?
So you're going
to
pick your son, or what?
He didn't have a choice, believe me.
So you're going to pick him?
You might as well.
Uh, out of
put your back in a word.
Out of brand loyalty, I guess I should pick the Suns. Okay, look, I love Ricky Rubio's eyelashes, so I'm going to pick the Phoenix Suns.
I mean, they'll be better, and they'll still suck. So who fucking cares?
It's the Phoenix Suns, man. Like this is the reason why none of us pick Houston until this low, is because Phoenix actually have not done too badly in the offseason. They got a point guard, like an actual NBA point guard, rather than
recognizable world champion point guard, as you pointed out a few weeks ago when you were getting your knickers in a twist about being sledged about how bad the Suns were.
I love Ricky. I love Ricky Rubio. But, look, he is actually an NBA point guard.
He has been and will continue to be.
I don't think he's in the top five NBA point guards, but he is. Look, last year they played guys that were not NBA point guards, that were probably not even EuroLeague point guards. So
I remember a time when they had three NBA point guards and they couldn't play any of them.
That's right. And this is the thing.
Where is IT?
What he is, at the Washington Wizards, which is very sad.
I'm even gladder that I picked them.
I just have no faith that even if they do everything right, they won't find a way to fuck it up. But they're my side, so I'll pick them.
Wow.
Nihilism. It's on brand.
Well, I'm in tradition of my pick from last year, in which I picked the Sydney Kings into the last spot. And look, I don't like to brag.
And again, you picked them a year early because they're much better this year than they were last year.
Look, I don't like to brag. Andrew Bogut, MVP, gets himself a contract back. He can, where's the check in the mail for that?
Most valuable pizza gator.
Yeah, that's right. So this year I'm going to pick into 30th spot, Segafredo versus Bologna, who are the current EuroLeague champions. Who I'm pretty sure that even though they're about 15,000 miles away, could probably still get more wins than the Memphis Grizzlies this year.
The Grizz are going to be terrible, but at least they're going to be building to something. I mean, because we said the Mavs were a year away, and we said the Pelicans were probably a few more years away. The Grizzlies are even more years away, and there's no guarantee it will actually ever be fun. So it's a bit hard to call.
I don't know about that. Ja Morant, I watched a bit of the preseason highlights of him the other day. He's got that real drive into the lane, like bounce off guys that are so much bigger than him and still manage to flip the ball in sort of vibe.
Saying is that you regret picking the Suns when you could have had the Grizz.
Well,
the Grizz were for the first half of the season last year, the Grizz were a playoff contender.
Yeah.
Evidently, they had a whole bunch of players on the roster who are no longer with them, but.
Yeah. Conley and Gasol sort of,
makes a bit of a difference.
It makes a slight bit of difference.
To be fair, the power rankings that I've sort of done a lot of the research off, and not the only ones, have the Suns at 25. Yeah.
And what?
Have the Grizz, like a 25 out of 30, and have the Grizzly at 29, they make the comment that they're playing for ping pong balls, but at least it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, the weird thing is that the 538 projections have them around a 33 to 36 win team, which would be enough to have them 12th or 11th. But obviously, that relies a lot on previous year's performance. Whereas Vegas has them comfortably the last team in the West.
I know this one I'm looking at here has the Hornets as the absolute cellar dwellers.
Nobody's as bad as the worst teams.
Well,
no one's as good as the best teams in the East either. For that point,
the thing is with the Hornets though, they get to play Washington and the Knicks and. You know, the Hornets get to play.
But that's no good if you're not as good as them.
Yes, but the Hornets get to play a whole heap of.
That's what the Knicks are saying. Well, at least we get to play fucking Charlotte. Yeah. Is Charlotte a dog shit?
We're the best team in the family.
The poor old Grizz only get the Suns. That's it. They get the Suns. That's it in their conference. Everyone else is actually trying to make the finals. That's why I thought the Pelicans and the Thunder were good picks for this. Exercise because they don't need to tank. They've got other people's draft picks going way into the future. They can play as hard as they fucking want, and they still have young talent coming in. Like, they don't need to lose to get those assets. They can try and actually win now. And in fact, trying to win now improves their chances because the more they knock down the teams whose draft picks they have, the better off they are. So that's why I think those two teams particularly will overachieve in the West. And you don't have one of them, Adam. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry. I'm okay with that.
I'm just looking at the teams that I've ended up with, and I realize I'm not going to watch any basketball because I don't like any of the teams that I've
picked. Oh, come on. You got the Pelicans, didn't you?
You got the Blazers. Come on. Oh, no, you don't. No,
no,
sorry.
I don't.
Oh, you've got the Rockets and the Timberwolves and the
Clippers. You got the Pelicans. The Pelicans are going to be fun, man.
I have the Celtics. I have the Raptors who will be gutted by Christmas.
Yeah.
I have the Pacers. Who fucking cares? I have the fucking Wizards. I have the Hornets. I have fucking shouty Microsoft sweaty man fucking Clippers. I have the Jazz. Who fucking cares about the Jazz?
Oh, man.
The Jazz moved to Utah where they don't allow music. Shouts to basketball. I have the Rockets. At least it'll be fun to watch them explode. I have the Pelicans and I have the Minnesota Timberwolves, who at least have a decent fucking league pass commentary team.
I just like to point out at this point that I have the Lakers, the Warriors, the Bucks, and
that's all fun. If you don't win this competition,
and the Heat.
If you don't win this competition, you're a clown act.
And well,
we should probably settle on what we're actually buying each other because we didn't actually do this year. So last year, so the losers have to buy the winner something. To the value of
beer.
Let's say the value of a good quality six pack. So if Adam wins, we could chip in for a $40 bottle of scotch or something.
Oh, that beer I gave you wasn't too bad. I wasn't sure if it was good.
Yeah, it was nice. And the beer that BJ gave me. Oh, that's right. He never settles his fucking debts.
Or it's VB.
You never. Yeah, I was going to say, you've got to drink. You've got to drink the last six pack I gave you before I can get you another one.
I did. No, actually, that was consumed. I told you the story of what happened to the last six pack.
Yeah, but you did consume
it. It is is currently multiplying in my parents' fucking basement. Other people thinking, oh, is this where we dump the VB? And just it's a fucking VB mountain being formed downstairs in the garage of my parents' place.
My brother-in-law the leftover Forex golds in my fridge today. So he was quite happy with them. I was wondering
why don't you just hurl actual human shit at people? I mean, that's
it reminds me of an old musical joke that, you know, one I used to play the banjo, of course, but I just got too much shit from people and I just put it out in the back of my ute one day and I thought someone will just walk past and take it, and I came past an hour later and there were four banjos in the back of my car. Boom, tish.
Clang.
Are we really leaving on that?
Are we going to allow a two-week trade moratorium on this? Are we allowed to trade teams? Are we allowed to make trade offers?
Why? Because we're talking about
practice. I'm not sure how that would work because unless you're claiming that, you know, you could trade, say, the Wizards and the Hornets for the Raptors or something, you know. It's not really going to work.
I think that would work. Like, you know, how many...
Do you think this is the way that you're going to avoid finishing last this year?
No, there's no chance of me not finishing last because that is my stake in life.
Because you picked the Magic at five.
I was telling the doc I'm in a fantasy league with a whole bunch of the guys I coach for the Philippines, and we had a draft. And I actually think I picked a pretty decent side in my draft. And
here's the thing. You're really good at betting against other people at sport when it's not with Adam and I. You're pretty much undefeated, except here.
But my team projected last. And I'm like, other people picked Knicks players and Hornets players. How the fuck am I the last team in this league? Like, this is all projection, you know, based on fantasy pods. I'm like, someone picked two Knicks players in their team and they finished ahead of me. I do not understand how fantasy works, but we'll see how it goes.
It's 538 stuff. They're going off. It's all about previous performance.
Yeah, that's right. So,
which is not really going to work for a whole bunch of start out high upside dudes who you probably would have picked.
Yeah.
Like the Magic.
All right.
I think I can see the problem.
Well, this has been very enjoyable.
It'll be interesting.
This has been our usual marathon NBA preview podcast. No After Dark this week because, let's face it, we've pretty much used up all the time we would have used to record the After Dark this week. So that'll come in forthcoming weeks. But this has been the Bulls podcast. I've been the Doc. That's been Adam and Bezo.
Thank you, Adam, again for making this a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you again for joining us, making the numbers work.
I did lots of research. I did double the research this year.
Yeah, 2 times 0 is still zero.
Two times five. Give me a bit.
I was going to say ten minutes instead of five.
Yeah.
Did you read a Fox Sports article?
Caroline Wilson has some really informed opinions about the NBA. He probably read an article about how Ben Simmons isn't as good as an AFL player and therefore didn't pick the Sixers.
Not picking the Sixers due to Ben Simmons' inability to
not be Jared Ruffhead.
To get into the paint, yeah. And by into the paint, I mean into the crown.
Yeah. And on that note, I think we might leave it for this week. We'll catch you again next week, folks.
See
you.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Because in the NBA, it's crazy. We got guys with moves that amaze me. It's fantastic and crowds go insane. It's the NBA. I really love this game. I really love this game.
Adam, thanks again, man.
Pleasure.
This is actually massively improved with you involved.
Before I go, actually, a little bit of pluggage that you should our tiny little Daily Examiner, the tiny little paper, actually has a podcast out tomorrow. And I think I told you about this last time, but it's actually out.
Oh yeah, I edited tomorrow. That out because it connected you with this podcast, which I assumed you didn't want to do.
I don't think they really give that much of a shit, to be honest. But anyway, we have a podcast out because it's the 30th anniversary of the Cowper bus crash. Have you ever heard of that? About the Cowper bus crash?
No, I have not.
Okay, so
it was not nice.
30 years ago, it was for 3 months anyway, the greatest loss of life on the highway. It happened at Cowper, which is a little village, so halfway between McLean and Grafton, on what was the one lane, two lane Pacific Highway. Semi trailer and a bus ripped the whole right hand side of the bus off. 21 or 22 people died, I think, something like that. Pretty horrible sort of thing. And at the 30-year anniversary, one of our journos, our digital producer, has sort of gone back with the help of a couple of other journos and interviewed everybody. Like dragged people out, like from the truck driver's daughter, who the truck driver was like on fucking all the drugs and all the bad log and all that sort of stuff, to everybody that was there and all that sort of stuff, and it's pretty fucking amazing. Like what's come down.
It's a sort of true crimey.
Not a true, yeah. It's just that, like the.
It's well, it is kind of true crimey.
Yeah, so it's the the first time that the actual story is being told by all the people that were there, kind of thing. Because it's one of these things that's not talked about much because all the people.
Right, 20 odd people got mashed.
Yeah, 21. Zero. 21 people dead, 22 injured. And it was.
Because obviously when I moved to Sydney, I spent a lot of time on those buses.
Yeah.
And I came to terms with sitting right at the front, up the top.
Yeah.
Because I thought, if I'm going, straight away. Yeah. At least I get a good view.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened to, everyone on the right-hand side of the bus.
Well, I remember that, we talked about it, we didn't release the audio of it, but pretty much one half of the bus is completely, it was almost pretty much intact, and the other half of the bus is just
gone.
It's just squashed back.
So, anyway.
It was, surgically removed.
It's worth a listen. I think it gets released at 3:43 a.m. tomorrow morning, on all the
is that because that's when the crash was? Of course, it would have been too.
Yeah, 3:43 in the morning, and we actually have somebody actually brought and found the clock, the bus's clock, that they took out of the thing that stopped at 3:43 a.m. or whatever.
It's a bit. This is a bit too fucking macabre. It is, to be perfectly frank.
It's heavy. I'm not gonna say it's not heavy, but it's very. And this is the first time she's ever podcasted or anything like that. Started it off her own bat, and then once it started developing, got News Corp's head of podcasting, which they have now, to sort of some of the audio is not great because it's just finding these people was hard enough, let alone recording them. So some of it's a bit over the phone-ish and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, the story's pretty cool. And then I can't just, so worth a listen, just to sort of see how a little country newspaper does a podcast up against all the others.
You'll appreciate this, Adam. I had a professional photographer do some of our corporate headshots for the new catalog this week.
Can you people be ordered out of a catalog now?
I'll
have a guy who's really bad at fantasy basketball, please. Here we are.
While I had it there, I was like, "Oh, can you give me some tips on all the stuff that I actually do? Can I have some training while you're there?" She's like, "Yeah, sure." Yeah. So she went through a whole heap of stuff. She went through particularly the audio, and she's like, "Oh, audio is so important on video." And I was like, "Yeah,
Yeah, we do a podcast, and sometimes our audio is better than ESPN and Sports Illustrated and all. And she's like, "Fuck yeah!" Like, if in this day and age, if you can't teach someone to have a half decent setup remotely, like particularly when it's like. But between two...
Yeah, that's great, but you dropped out for most of the bottom half of the Western Conference. We were just nodding and smiling and waiting for the sound to come back.
That's got nothing to do with that.
Did you know that?
The actual audio.
Oh, the audio of you talking to nobody will be fantastic.
Skype is the dirty asshole of fucking audio recording. That's all I'm going to say.
Some people are into that sort of stuff. Yeah. Most of them are on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, it's all about that.